Loveline, coast to coast.
Yep, it is Loveline. That sounds like S. Oh, there we go. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce, everybody. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Bruce is a board-certified physician, believe it or not, and an addiction medicine specialist, and he removes tats from gang members in prison. And what else do you do, Bruce?
We're doing the gang program in East L.A. now.
Oh, good.
And Father Greg Boyles.
Fantastic. Oh, the famous father is down there trying to stop all the gang warfare. He also shoots rats at his home in Redlands with a .22.
That's me. That's not Father Greg.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I'm still on you.
I don't want any confusion there.
No, you're the rat killer.
I'm the rat killer.
Absolutely. Dr. Bruce got a fresh charge on his batteries. He's out here in his beat-up pickup truck. He's the crown prince of doctors. Dr. Bruce, everybody.
They didn't like that pickup in your neighborhood there, Adam.
What are you talking about?
I got the dirty look.
No, you did not. Bruce came by. Bruce and I have a love-hate-abuse relationship. I like Dr. Bruce, but he's the kind of guy who doesn't know he's alive until he's being beat upon, I think. He asked for it.
Okay.
He asked for it. That's something you should look into, Bruce, because Bruce comes on to this show, and I beg him to be prepared to pick the calls, to be in his place, and then he drops the ball quite a bit, and then I beat on him, but I think that's the nature of our relationship. I think you enjoy that in some bizarre way. Or maybe you don't enjoy it, but you must need it somehow.
And Bruce, as the insightful physician I am, I know that you need someone to beat upon to feel worthy. So
I
present myself
as a martyr.
As a sacrifice.
Thank
you, fans.
And Bruce and I, actually, I enjoy when Bruce comes in because unlike Drew, who is a woman, a woman with a penis, Bruce has hobbies. He enjoys the stuff I enjoy. We sit around, we talk about cars and model airplanes. I bring in magazines. He brings in his guitars. And we actually enjoy each other on a male level.
Right.
You cannot relate to Drew as a male. You can only relate to him as a human being. He's not a male human. He's just human. You know what I'm saying? Bruce and I can sit around and have a long-winded conversation about cars after the show, whereas Drew doesn't know what I'm saying, and he's peeling out the second the show ends and heading home anyway to get his nuts back from
his
wife.
But he's driving the BMW, and I'm in the pickup truck.
That's true. Yeah. Now, Bruce, I enjoy, but I think Bruce thinks I don't enjoy him. And Bruce, once in a while, calls me and wants to hang out or something, but he always calls at the last second. He never gives any warning. He calls when he's driving by my house, and I'm either not home or heading out somewhere and can't accommodate him. Tonight, Bruce called, said he was down the street. He was in Hollywood. Now, Bruce is a good, 75 miles away from Hollywood?
Oh, yeah, easy.
And what were you doing? You just cruising dudes before the show? What were you doing at 7:30 in Hollywood tonight?
Hey, where can a fella get a hooker around here?
Right.
Not in your neighborhood.
What were you doing?
I was just in L.A. early because I was doing the tattoo thing and had some time to kill. So
I see. So naturally, he calls at 7:30 and he says, can I come over to your house and take a nap?
Everybody else I know has kids.
Right.
Adam, no kids. Cool stuff at his house.
Wanted to come over and take a nap. So I said, you know what? I'm heading out because I'm going out to dinner. But you can come up, but hurry. I'll let you in. You can take a nap and just let yourself out, which you did. I told you I'd call you to wake you up. Told you I'd call you at 9:15 to wake you up.
Yeah.
I got my own answering machine 5 times before Bruce picked up, by the way. I had to let it ring and ring and ring and ring.
So you got one of these designer leather couches that's really comfortable.
You must have really been out.
I was out.
Yeah.
Great.
You doctors can go down quick.
I found a couple of those blow-up dolls you have in the closet.
Yeah. All right.
Magazines, yeah.
All right, so you found yourself around, you turn the alarm on, you shut the door, everything's good, you shut the gate.
Yeah.
You made it here okay.
Yeah. What's that little thing in your bathroom next to the toilet, the other round thing with the thing the water shoots up out of it? What's
it? Talking about?
Normal people don't have those in their houses.
Talking about my bidet?
Oh, that's right, that's what it is. Yeah.
No, you're making a joke, but I do have a toilet seat bidet. You didn't go upstairs and see it, I don't think.
No, I didn't.
You didn't snoop around?
I didn't take the liberties, no.
No.
I was afraid.
That would have been
but
all right
I could tell all your fans out there, he's sold out. He's not every man's hero anymore.
What are you talking about?
The neighborhood this guy lives in, I'm telling you. I ran over one little Shih Tzu. The neighbor was screaming. The guy gets the, he's got a little grocery box at the doorstep.
Oh, that's a recycling bucket.
No, there was a bunch of food in it. Somebody's delivering food to his house. Somebody does your shopping for you.
You're talking about that plastic bucket at the bottom of the stairs?
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's full of cans and beer bottles.
Okay, well.
Tomorrow's trash day. How dare you? Please.
I did get a dirty look from your neighbor.
I live in an exclusive neighborhood. I'm a millionaire. Literally a millionaire.
Whatever.
All right, we're going to take some phone calls. I got, speaking of phone calls, my celebrity buddy, David Alan Greer, called the other day and left a long-winded message on my phone machine that I thought was kind of funny. I'll share with the listeners a little bit later tonight. I didn't clear it with him, but that's the...
He's a funny guy.
That's the risk you run when you leave messages on guys who do radio shows. Jill?
Yes?
You're 25.
Yes.
What's up?
Actually, I've got a question. I thought Dr. Drew would be in tonight, but I think Dr. Bruce can probably answer this.
Well, don't be so sure.
Well, my boyfriend and I are having a debate. He says that everyone has herpes and that mouth herpes or herpes that you get on your lips can be transferred to your genitals.
And when he says everyone has it, he means everyone that's ever had a cold sore has herpes?
Yes. And he says like 95% of all people have herpes. And I don't think it's that high. He says I have herpes. That it's just dormant.
Yeah.
And I don't have herpes. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing he has herpes.
I don't think he has herpes.
Well, you see, listen, fellas, it's important not to make strong arguments for venereal diseases that you don't have. It makes you look guilty.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like these guys who sit around and spout off all the time. Oh, no. It's not the size of the boat. It's the motion of the ocean. Women don't care about a small penis. That's highly overrated.
Dead
you talk
giveaway.
Too much. Everyone goes, small dick.
Dead giveaway.
Small dick. Yeah. He's obviously he has it or he wouldn't be defending it this way.
Right.
All right, Bruce, you say what you know and then I'll say what I know.
Type 1 and type 2. Type 1 oral, type 2 genital can go back and forth, but it's not common. So
normally,
if you have an outbreak, it's true. It's a dormant virus, and almost everyone does have it, and it will come out when you're stressed. Some people have, there are different factors that.
But let me ask a couple of questions. There's type one, not you, Jill, but you listen, baby. Type one and type two. Type one is oral. Type two is genital.
Right.
They're different strains.
Right.
So. Most genital herpes is passed through genital
right.
contact.
Absolutely.
Not through oral to genital contact.
Correct.
Is it possible to get type 2 on your mouth? Or because it's on your mouth, does that make it type 1?
No. If you check the strains, it is possible for them to go the other way. It's possible to have
but normally
type 1, but normally it's genital to genital
right.
type 2 to type 2.
All right. And as far as everybody having herpes, technically, I mean, here's what I've gotten from Dr. Drew. Anytime you have a cold sore, it is a form of herpes.
Right.
And everyone has had one at one time or another. But not everyone has one every 4 months.
Right.
Some people haven't had one since they were in the fourth grade.
Well, the shingles virus, chickenpox, herpes zoster, the herpes virus family is a very large family of viruses. So he's right. But on the other hand, when a virus is in a dormant state, you can't give it to the other person. The problem is when you're about to get an outbreak or when the outbreak's very early, you don't know it and you can transmit it to the other person.
But here's what, in a more practical sense, Jill, here's the reality. Everyone may be harboring the herpes virus in one form or another. Everyone may have had an outbreak. Like I said, it may not have been, they may have been in camp when they were in the fifth grade, but everyone may technically have something. But the practical reality is some people have frequent breakouts, and those are the people who have herpes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I
you know
want to know
what saying?
Jill's boyfriend's angle is on this. If all of a sudden there's some oral sex and she has these little things on her lips, everybody, then he comes up with, everybody's had it, everybody. Maybe there's something more to it.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
All right. Jill?
Thank you.
All right. I don't know if that helped at all. Basically,
no,
your boyfriend is basically wrong.
Well, no, he's over here patting himself on the back as I'm, you know, shaking my head yes. But
No, he's wrong, and he's wrong practically.
Okay.
I mean,
practically, I'm right. Not everyone has genital herpes, and not everyone has herpes.
No, not every. Listen, a genital herpes is another situation, because I don't know what percentage of people have that. But listen, if you've never had an outbreak, then you don't have it.
Okay.
I mean, it's like saying you have cancer, except for you don't have cancer.
Yeah, there's a big difference between genital herpes and the oral herpes.
But
right.
Oral herpes, a lot of people have it, but it's just not out.
Well, no. Listen, oral herpes, everybody has had a cold sore one time or another.
Okay.
But if you haven't had one in 20 years, you don't have oral herpes.
Okay.
Just because.
So genital herpes isn't the same.
No.
Okay.
All right, baby.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, have fun tonight. You guys both slip into a nice trash bag and get it on.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, that's a good conversation.
I'd like to hear the conversation now.
Tasha?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I found out that my mom is having an affair, and I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should confront her or what.
What'd you do, smell her hand?
No.
How'd you find out?
I watched her punch in her access code to her voicemail, and I checked her voicemail.
You mean at home on the phone?
Yeah.
And, oh, Jesus, you are disgusting. That is horrible. So you just watched a code, memorized a code.
Yeah.
Then dialed it up.
Yeah.
And what message did you hear?
Well, there was like six different guys on her pager. But like a couple in particular that were from one guy, they were just, I mean, I can't even say the things that were on it. They were disgusting. I mean, I heard like the first 10 seconds and I hung up because it like shocked me.
She's got a business on the side.
Yeah.
Is your dad living at home?
Yeah.
And why, this is for a pager, it's not for the home phone machine?
No, it's for a pager.
Yeah. And what does your mom do for a living?
She's a secretary.
I see. What's your dad do?
He works at a radio station.
He does?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, that's trouble.
Want to zero in on that one?
What's he do for a radio station?
Well, he used to be a DJ, but now he produces commercials and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's trouble.
Uh-oh.
No,
no wonder she's cheating. And they've been together for many years?
Almost 20.
I see.
How's the relationship been, from your standpoint? They get along well?
They fight a lot.
Uh-huh. Now, when they fight, does your dad use that radio voice? God damn it, you bitch. I'd like you to step outside so I can lay a good ass whipping on you. 68 degrees outside. We're going to turn the gym in traffic, Jim. 28 after the hour. 28 away from 10 o'clock. You stinking whore.
Tosh, you have any brothers or sisters?
Cheating on me again. Fantastic.
Mm.
Yeah, I have a brother.
How old is he?
He's 12.
Oh.
All right, Tasha.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, your mom's... the thing I don't understand about your mom is I understand having an affair. I don't understand being sort of... she's not a very good criminal. You know, I mean, the guy's leaving long-winded, very explicit messages on the pager.
Different guys.
Isn't she worried that somebody could get hold of this pager, like you or her husband or something like that?
I guess not.
All right. Well, listen, maybe the relationship's run its course. When are you moving out of the house?
I have no clue.
Isn't it about time for you to go off to junior college?
I'm still in high school.
You're 18?
Yeah, it's my second senior year.
Oh, baby. Well, Jesus. Wait a minute, man. What do you got to do to get to actually repeat in this day and age? I mean, you have to actually kill a faculty member, don't you?
No.
What do you have to do to repeat your senior year?
Have a good time the first time around.
I know,
it's a great year.
But isn't it hard to do? I mean, I was the world's worst student. I didn't have to repeat.
No, I screwed up my junior year. I never went to school, and so they kicked me out and sent me to a continuation school, and that's where I'm at.
Okay. Well, listen, baby. How about, you know what? Stay out of it. All right. Well, then confront your mom. I don't know what you're going to tell her. I don't know how you're going to tell her you found out.
Yeah, because then she'll be like, why were you invading my privacy?
All right. Well, then you lay low.
You know, the important thing is how are you doing and how is this affecting you? And many times when parents, they cheat on each other, bad things happen, it has long-term effects on you.
She's 18.
Well, I'm just asking her how she feels about it. Is it really bothering you, or is it not something that surprised you that much because your mom is that type of person? Or
no, it's bothering me.
Okay, well, listen, if it's bothering you, you talk to her. And you tell her to make you feel better about it. That's good.
Hmm.
That's fine. Hey, here's what you say. Don't get into how you know. You say, Mom, I know what's going on with you and that other guy, and I feel real bad about it, and why don't you sit me down and explain to me why I shouldn't feel so bad about it?
Yeah, but Tasha's got other
issues. Thank you. Micah?
Yes, sir.
You're 20.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, check it out. When I was 14, my mom had divorced my dad and ran off to be a dominatrix.
Sure.
And, yeah. And,
ow!
And, well, I wound up living with her because my dad kicked me out. So I kind of grew up around, like, my mom, like, tying people up and spanking them and defecating on them. And,
no, you did not.
I swear to God.
Where were you when she was defecating on them?
In the living room where she was at.
Just watching TV?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mom, could you move the poop a little to the left? You're blocked. I'm trying to watch Little House on the Prairie. Do you mind defecating on your client just maybe in the kitchen or hallway?
Wait a second. Yeah. What state are you calling from?
I'm calling from Chicago. From Illinois.
Oh, yeah, that could happen there.
All right.
Where were you when she was with her clients?
I'm serious. We live in an apartment.
All right, but you were in the same room?
Yeah, half the time. I mean, sometimes I wasn't always there. Sometimes I was in school, but I'd come home with my buddies, and my mom would have some guy tied up there, you know, in the living room.
No.
And people.
No, listen, hold on a second. Listen to me. What kind of client is going to go in, pay somebody to perform this act, and have their kids sitting in the room?
Most of them were big business executives. Real rich people.
Yeah, I understand. And, with her kid sitting in the room?
Sure. It got kind of worse. Like, she would pay because she got really weak. She actually passed away of cancer last year. And she got really weak and couldn't tie him up that well anymore. So she would, like, pay me to tie him up for her while she, like, whipped him and spanked him and did whatever. And, you know, guys used to pay her to come to our house just to dress up like women and wash our dishes and clean our house and stuff. And, well, my problem really is, though, is that this is, like, really...
Same childhood I had. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
What the problem about, now is what?
What about... Hold on a second.
That's not something you hear every day, but...
Didn't any of these guys object to the fact that the woman's kid was in the room?
Actually, a lot of them took a liking to me and would, like, you know, like, bring me presents and stuff when they would come to the house. And,
And had no problem sort of performing a sexual ceremony while the woman was, the child was in the room.
Being spanked.
Not at all.
Old were you at the time?
I was 14 when it all started. And it went on until I was about 17 when I joined the Army.
All right. Now, what about the part where they dressed up like women and did the dishes?
Well, like, okay, for instance, one guy, he was a lawyer in Pennsylvania, had a wife and three kids, happily married. He had a fetish of being a cross-dresser, so he would pay my mom, he paid her something like $500 a day, and he told his wife that he was going on a week business trip to Seattle, and he flew out there dressed, I always remember him as Peter Pan, because he used to wear these like little green high heels and green tights, and this blonde wig, really skinny guy in a green skirt, and he lived with us for like a week just to like wash our dishes and like clean our house and stuff, dressed up like a woman.
Well, you see, you know, when I was growing up, we had this guy who dressed up like a Mexican woman and who would come by in, you know, skirt and white skirt and everything, and she would clean the... Oh, no, wait, that was a maid. That was her maid. I'm sorry. I was totally confused.
I'm buying the story.
I'm buying it. Hold on a second. I'm buying it, too, because he's got a lot of very specific information in here. Like,
how can we help him? That's the question.
Like the Peter Pan thing.
Can I get on with what?
Yeah, so you joined the Army. Your mom died of cancer.
Right. I moved to Germany and spent 3 years. I just moved to Illinois. I spent 3 years over there. Got engaged. Almost got married. I had to get out of it. It's really kind of affected my life. Growing up around all this sex and, like, this big emphasis on sex, I tend to actually desensitize sex.
Yeah.
Like where, like to the point where there's like no emotions, and a lot of women have problems with that.
Yeah.
Women have problems anyway, but that just kind of adds to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so now it's like, you know, my sex life is kind of bizarre. Like weird things kind of turn me on, and I don't know how to get away from all that. You know what I mean?
All right, Micah, listen to me. You grew up in basically a bizarre sexual Cuisinart, just flying around.
Is that really a word?
No. Your mom was a piece of work, a serious piece of work. I'm sorry she's been taken by cancer, but what a horrible, horrible, horrible mother. May she rot in peace. Now, listen, I'm sure she was abused sexually or physically by her family. Listen, I could dig her coffin up and get that out of her. Okay. You hear me?
Yeah.
She had horrible things done to her, and she became the world's worst mother. Okay.
No, she was a good mom.
Horrible.
Like, other than that.
Horrible mother. Now, here's the point. Your compass is spinning around like at the beginning of this Devil's Triangle documentaries you used to see. I mean, it's all over the place, and rightfully so. I'm surprised you're as normal as you are. Yeah. You're doing
suicidal stage, but
you're doing pretty good for what you've been through and what you've seen and how you were raised. But you're going to have a little difficulty in the sex department and in the intimacy department.
Yeah.
Fine. You're 20. You're asking all the right questions. A little therapy.
Right. That's the point.
Talk to a few people.
You're not going to
do this slow.
Your own insight. The fog's not going to clear on its own. It's cleared a lot on its own based on your own stability and inherent strength. Sounds like you've dealt with it really well. But it gets to a point where when developmentally you have some of these things happen to you,
please.
You have to go back, work through it with a therapist. Well, a lot of people think if I understand what happened, I can move on from here. And there are other people that will tell me, yeah, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, move on. In a situation like this,
don't listen to any of your friends about anything, just unless it has to do with finding an apartment. But emotionally, forget it. Everyone's an idiot. All those guys you talk to with all their sort of half-baked isms about what it's going to take to get you back on your feet emotionally, all retards.
Right.
You were helping tie up some of the clients because your mom's body was riddled with cancer. So you had to actually lash the guy's hands together. You need therapy.
But he works through the suicidal stage, the obvious things. And then
he's doing good.
When intimacy occurs, sexuality occurs in people like this, things just explode and they don't know how to handle it.
So you need help. 20, go to therapy, don't get anyone pregnant.
And don't think it's easy. You have to work at it and spend time with the therapist. It's a fruitful process.
Right. All right. Now, who are we going to talk to when we come back?
Josh.
No, I don't like that call.
Okay. Then I want to talk to Jeannie, or Gene had sex with a guy, and he wants to know if there's any way
her boyfriend could tell.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I mean, she cheated on her boyfriend.
Oh, great. That's
right?
A good one. Yeah, I like that one.
All right, we'll do that after this.
Loveline. Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. He is Dr. Bruce, the clown prince of doctors, everybody. Dr. Bruce.
I took my coffee.
Ichabod Bruce, everybody. Someone stole his coffee, spazzing right in front
Anderson
of me.
Anderson took my coffee and gave me sugar. What's the point?
You know, I was thinking of what you were as I was driving over here.
Oh.
And I thought spaz.
Spaz?
Yeah. Like
asshole.
Now, here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying, Bruce. Dr. Bruce, filling in for Dr. Drew, by the way. He's board certified. I swear he says he is. He says he is, everybody. Addiction medicine, removes tats. He's involved. He's probably got better grades than Dr. Drew did, although he went to a college no one heard of.
Oh, no, that's not story.
What college was that again? See, I can't remember it.
They're suing me right now.
It's not a real college. I never heard of that college. But here's the deal, Bruce. You are a spaz, you see? And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about different labels.
Hmm.
Well, we're talking about this guy we know as a blowhard.
A blowhard?
Yeah.
Why don't you define terms?
Well, let me tell you about a blowhard. Like, for instance, you can't be black and be a blowhard. There's no black blowhards. You have to be a white guy. You can't be... There's no blowhards that are under 25 or even 35. To be a blowhard, you must be a white male. There's no female blowhards.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Hispanic blowhards. There's no black. You must be white. You must be between the ages of 38 and 60, and he must be at least 40 pounds overweight to be a blowhard. You know what I'm talking about, Bruce? There's certain titles.
Yes.
You cannot be a blowhard and a spaz at the same time.
Thank God.
You're a spaz. That's all right.
Well, that's not bad.
Spaz. Well, let's see. To be a spaz, you can't be overweight and be a spaz. You have to be a little underweight.
Okay.
That's what you are. You have to have a sort of unfluid, herky-jerky type movement.
Okay, we're looking at hypomanic right now.
Yeah,
okay,
that's right.
Translate.
You can be intelligent, but do a good job disguising that from from people you meet in everyday life.
You have to be tested to find that out, of course.
Right. Yeah. You are an intelligent guy who does well when you have a number two pencil in your hand. Other than that, like...
Or a stethoscope. Probably.
Or a stethoscope, but when you're...
Thank God.
But you wouldn't know it other than that.
Right.
You wouldn't know.
Knock things over.
One of the spaz characteristics is eating a lot of, like, candy and sugar. See, like, a spaz wouldn't drink scotch, straight scotch.
Single malt.
And single malt scotch. And eat smoked salmon. Spaz would have a pixie stick.
I ate a whole smoked salmon last week.
Really?
Myself. All right. I don't want to burst your bubble. Keep going.
All right. So, your classic spaz.
Okay.
That's all. All right. So, doctor.
Wait a second. What are you?
Yeah. I'm cool. I'm hip. I'm what's called hipster. Hep cat, they call me.
Okay.
No, I don't really have a title. I would. If I put on a few pounds in a couple of years, one day, God willing, I will be a blowhard soon.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
But right now,
you're chilling with the homeboys right now.
About five years and about 45 pounds, and I will have reached blowhard status because I got the rap of a blowhard. I talk a lot.
Yeah.
And about stuff I don't know about and with a lot of conviction.
The homies in East L.A. want you to come down to their boxing program.
I'm going to come down there.
They'll take your lights out.
No, they won't. No, you vastly underestimate my ability. All right, Bruce, let's take a call. But then you got to tell me about going to these raves.
Yeah.
Bruce does this thing where he goes to raves and he actually tries to score on underage chicks.
I knew it.
Now, what do you do at these raves?
Drew and I are working on some chapters for a... adolescent textbook, mostly me, of course. But
right.
So I got the section on designer drugs, club drugs.
So you're doing some research,
yeah.
And you go to raves.
Well, usually I go and cover them as a physician with that other character, Dr. DeLong.
Right, you're going.
But this time I just went.
Bruce goes down there normally because a lot of kids OD and freak out and have trouble,
and
you actually have to save their lives.
Well, yeah. Hope. Yes, that's
who. Who provides you? I mean, who pays for that?
It's required in the contract with the promoter. So there's an ambulance company, and we work with them.
That's bad times.
No, so, in fact, we used to go down with when the Grateful Dead played. They always had Rock Med, which was a group out of Haight-Ashbury Clinic, and they still do that kind of work. But the Grateful Dead knew that these doctors understood hallucinogens, and
right.
When somebody was freaking out on acid, they didn't get 16 policemen to hold them down and handcuff them. They'd talk them down. They'd know exactly what to do.
Right.
And it's, you know, there's quite a parallel with the rave type of scene. You have basically everybody's using.
So you were at the rave from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m.
Approximately.
All right. Let's take some calls, but remind me to get into that before the night is over.
Put people to sleep.
Jeannie?
Yeah?
You're 15. What's up?
I was just wondering if there's any way, like, after you have sex, like, if you can tell afterwards, like with another guy, because yesterday I saw an old friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a while, so, and we weren't planning on doing anything, but, I just kind of did, and I have a boyfriend, and he should be coming over sometime tonight, and I was wondering if there's, like, any way that he would be able to tell, because, like...
Is your belly button filled with semen?
No.
You want to hear a story? I won't mention the person. Not like anyone knows him anyway. But female friend of mine, an attractive female friend of mine. We're not bosom buddies, but I know her fairly well. Was telling me a story about cheating on her boyfriend, and that the reason her boyfriend found out she was cheating is that her boyfriend found her. A piece of a condom in her vagina.
Classic story.
Yeah. I mean,
I am a
Talk about cold busted. You know, you're having sex with your girlfriend of a couple of years. You don't use a condom with her. She's on the pill, or maybe you're sterilized, or whatever the hell's going on.
She didn't think of a story like practicing putting it on the banana, and it slipped.
And you're getting intimate, and he's getting down there, and he's getting busy, and he's got his face down there, and before you know it, it's like, hey, what's this? Would a balloon go up? What? This is part of a condom. Now, how are you going to lie quick enough?
What?
You know what I mean? What are you going to say to that?
Just put on your clothes and walk out.
That is just cold busted. All right, so listen. He's not going to be able to tell physiologically. He's only going to be able to tell emotionally.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did the other guy, did you use a condom with this guy?
No.
Okay, so maybe there'll be a big, big gush of...
Smart move. No condom fragments left behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe some fluid left.
Why didn't you use a condom with this guy?
Well, because, like, it's not like it was planned or anything. Just kind of...
Yeah. You didn't plan it, but you knew it was going to happen.
Oh, no.
What happened?
Well, because he's, like, I don't know, because he left, and, like, I wasn't expecting him to come back because, like, I thought I'd never see him again or anything.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't even know he was going to be coming over or anything. So.
Yeah, yeah. So kind of, well, aren't you scared you're going to get pregnant?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm on birth control.
You are?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, but you're 15?
You still could have got some venereal disease. How old is the guy?
16.
Yeah, and he gets around a little bit?
I don't know.
Now listen, I know he gets around because he blew into town and nailed you and blew back out of town again. That's a guy who gets around.
You're 15, though, and it sounds like you're fairly promiscuous or...
No, no kidding. All right, listen.
I'll
leave her alone. Don't give her that religious speech. Jeannie, when's your boyfriend coming back?
Like, sometime tonight.
All right. Listen, try to avoid sex with him tonight. And tomorrow, head on over to the Planned Parenthood and get yourself a...
Get your finger off that thing.
Get a little check.
Wait a second.
Yeah, see what's going on. Don't have sex with him tonight. Let yourself dry off a little down there.
No, but I mean, there's...
And relax. How dare you? Josh.
Whoa. Hello?
Hey, you're 18. What's up?
What's up?
See, Josh, a little spazzy.
What's the other kind? The fat white guy?
Blowhard.
You know, you're not a blowhard because you're only 18. You can't be a blowhard at 18.
Oh, so I'm a spaz?
Well, there's a few other things you could be.
Spend 5 minutes with Adam, you will be a spaz.
I'll give you a good label.
Yeah.
Word.
What's up?
Oh, I was going to say something about the rave, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Are you high?
No, actually I'm not. No, but raves are the easiest place to pick up, like, the poo-tang, if you know what I mean.
Hold on. Poo-tang. Let me look up that word.
Poo-tang.
Of course. There's a bunch of good-looking chicks that are half-dressed and passed out everywhere.
Exactly.
Is he 10 or 18? I can't read the thing.
But also, I mean, it's just... I don't know.
No, listen, okay. Here, let me tell you my move if I was 18.
Yeah.
I would show up at these raves. Uh-huh. I wouldn't show up at 9 o'clock when they started.
No.
I'd show up about 3:30 in the morning. They'd call me the garbage man. I'd come in there and pick up the garbage. Yeah. And I'd be straight as an arrow. I'd have a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. I'd have a cup of coffee and some moist towelettes, and that'd be it. And I'd just scrape up whatever was left behind and have sex with it. Everyone's peeking, everyone's high, everyone's just lying all over the place, their shirts are pulled up over their heads.
It's a bizarre, it's crazy.
Yeah, see, you get high too, and you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, but you'd be the only one with that predator look in their eyes. Everyone else is peaceful. And
yes, that's
you'd
what I'm
out
saying.
Like a wolf in a...
I'd roll in there on a couple cups of coffee, smelling of aqua velva. All right, so anyway, Josh, what's your problem?
But actually, you know, honestly, like, I didn't really... I just wanted to call in and just, like, go crazy.
All right, buddy. Well, you know what? Go crazy. Go ahead.
Take me
seconds.
Compton style.
Freak out, baby.
What's up?
Yeah, just scream.
Lake Hills.
Yeah, Lake Hills, man. Yeah. All right, buddy.
Good night.
All right. Now, that's a...
typical listener, actually. Spaz.
It was spazzy.
Yeah, he was spaz.
Right.
Non-chemically induced.
Ola?
Yes.
Well, that's the other thing. To be a spaz, you got to be straight.
Yeah.
Can't be an alcoholic or
coffee?
Drug addict.
Coffee.
Yeah, a lot of coffee and a lot of, like, Pepsi. Ola?
Yes.
Geez, that's your name, Ola?
Yes, it is.
Oh, boy. You're 21.
Yes, I am. I had a chemically induced miscarriage in November, and I wanted to know if there's
like later on if there's going to be some trouble and problems and stuff like that.
What kind of chemicals did you take?
It was methotrexate. It's actually approved, FDA approved it for cancer treatments.
Right.
They used it to, if somebody has like tubal pregnancy.
Yeah, ectopic. So you're, I'm not understanding the question. Are you talking about future pregnancies?
Yeah, like is there going to be?
Absolutely not. There's no problem at all.
There's no problem. And I have another question. The reason I got pregnant was because I was on the pill and I get chronic bladder infections and I had called my doctor.
And you took antibiotics and they made your.
Yeah, and I wasn't, I didn't know. And is my doctor somewhat responsible for this, or should I tell him?
Yes, he should raise the aborted fetus.
Okay, well, just getting back to your other question. Once you have an ectopic pregnancy, if you have any tubal damage.
She didn't have an ectopic pregnancy.
No, it was a regular chemically induced miscarriage.
Okay, and they gave you the methotrexate.
Yeah, and then I inserted the Cytotex.
Yeah. Okay. So. Listen, you'll be fine.
Right.
And he should have asked you if you were on the pill.
Because that's where the pills I got from her. And then when I called and just.
Oh, wait a minute. You're going to a chick doctor?
Yeah.
Well, now whose fault is that? Do you know what I'm saying?
Hold on. Let me tell you something. That is something that most physicians, and I'm not making too many excuses for my colleagues, but it's very common not to ask about birth control.
Why not? When you're prescribing a drug to a 21-year-old girl who you prescribe birth control to?
I can't tell you why, but I can tell you that...
She dropped the ball.
If you're talking about the standard of care, most physicians, when they're prescribing an antibiotic for a urinary tract infection, for a UTI, they don't religiously say, what else are you taking? And if they're taking a birth control pill, remember to warn them that it might...
I don't know. Why not? That sounds like it should be standard practice if you're giving it to a female of a certain age group.
Right. And when you're talking to medical students or residents, you pound it into their heads always. You know, you don't have to get an extensive history of everything, but
this was her patient. She prescribed the birth control as well.
Right.
Okay, listen. She dropped the ball. This doctor did. But that's fine. You got pregnant, you had it aborted, and that's it. There's nothing. Don't sue her.
Well.
Here's all I'm saying.
When I hear her say, isn't she responsible, then I'm wondering where she's going with it.
Listen, not everyone needs to be paid back all the time. Sometimes mistakes happen. People are human. That's fine. Everything doesn't need to be made right just because it happened to you, unless it happens to me. All right, so Bruce, you ready to take a break? You want to tell me about this rave?
Okay.
Uh-oh. Well, Anderson's dancing over there like he's in a rave. Come on, he can't tell me about this, Ray.
It'll take like 20 minutes.
Take 15.
Shut Anderson's mic.
Real quick.
Okay.
9 p.m. you get there. You don't leave till 9 a.m.?
Right. This rave was probably one of the larger raves that's occurred. It was down near USC. The three venues, so you could walk from one to the other.
What percentage of people are high on something?
Oh, probably everybody but me.
Really?
Well, you know, people are going to call in and say, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But really, the type of music, the syncopated
lights
DJ
and everything.
The light show. It's really set up for that kind of an environment for
everyone's
like,
high.
Right. And ecstasy, LSD.
Did you have to treat people?
No, I was just wandering around. I didn't treat anybody. Just really talking to people.
Stepped over a few people that were having seizures.
Stepped over a few people that were passed out.
I see. And you're just talking, everyone just bumming their high completely.
No.
Hi, I'm Dr. Spaz.
No,
I got a notepad. And speaking of the dictaphone, what's your spell your last name for me?
No,
thank you.
I had my digital camera though. When I would ask them, can I take a picture of your ecstasy? Then they get a little bit.
Yeah, because their parents sent you out there.
But the concern is just in a nutshell, Anderson.
Paging Dr. Spaz. Dr. Spaz.
Using ecstasy is a little bit scary, and even the people there that are experienced users will acknowledge we really don't know what the long-term effects are.
Right.
And, okay, I'll stop right
now. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, not knowing what the long-term effects are, it's really become
Paging
pretty...
Paging Dr. Spaz.
It's become pretty mainstream. There are a lot of people using it, and it is a frightening thing. So.
All right, Dr. Spaz.
Oh.
All right, you cool?
Yes.
All right.
Did I make my point?
Yes. I'm Cross. Dr. Spaz over there filling in for Dr. Hermaphrodite.
Have you forgotten his name already?
Dr. Hermaphrodite.
Yeah.
And we'll be back for more Dr. Spaz after this.
Hello? Who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Babe, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is my new partner, Dr. Spaz. Our patient, Dr. Spaz.
Why can't you talk to me the way, during the breaks, we have intelligent conversations, and then you turn into a moron once we're on the air.
We talked about ecstasy during the break. I mentioned to Dr. Spaz that I'd tried it before. He was worried about all the ravers and that everyone was doing this and the long-term effects. You're worried for the kids, aren't you?
Yeah, I was trying to feel their pain, but I was feeling their ecstasy instead.
Have you seen your hair in that pickup truck you drive?
Thank God,
you should start worrying about yourself. Don't worry about the kids. They're doing fine. Your hair's all over the place, and
there's
a pickup truck.
Electromagnetic attraction to the ceiling of the truck.
Dr. Spaz's truck looks like the truck Fred Sanford used to drive.
I got it from a guy named Fred.
All right. Really? How fitting. Bum, bum,
you want to talk about Rave Safe?
No.
Okay.
I'll talk a little more about Rave. I'll tell you what. Sometime in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll talk a little more about Raves, and I'll play the David Alan Greer phone message that he left on my machine.
Thank you, Adam.
Twinkie hole, baby. Woo!
David?
So?
You're 13. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
Hey.
Yeah, my question is, what are the side effects of early age weightlifting, like my age?
Are you powerlifting, or what are you doing?
Just, like, doing pressing and stuff.
Okay, well, the problem is your growth plates and your bones are open, and if you're doing really heavy competitive lifting, you can damage your vertebrae, you can damage some of your bones, and, you know, some of the other things that go along with powerlifting and with aggressive weight training, some of the, you know, creatine and food additives are not healthy at that age.
Well,
so
I don't do that stuff. I just like lift weights.
Maybe just lift.
But are you know, how much are you pushing it? Are you really pushing it to where you can bench press four times your body weight? Or
I try not to do that unless someone four times my body weight's around. You know.
Yeah. Are you? Will it turn him gay faster?
No.
All right. Hey, David.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you're fine. Just, you know, warm up and try not to whack your back out too much.
Yeah,
and
try to stay away from that, you know.
And don't pile the weights up too high. Just do your repetitions there and then, you know.
But things are not as strong or as resistant to really.
He's fine.
Okay.
No big deal. This kid wants to lift a few weights. He'll be fine. All right, what is this call here? Girlfriend's trying to tell him she's pregnant. Yeah, I like this one better. I want to talk to Brian.
You know what happens when you go out of my
your jurisdiction?
It's a disaster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Comedy ensues. Brian?
Yeah.
You're 18. What's up?
I was on vacation in California just last week on Christmas vacation. I went to go see my old buddy in my old hometown, and I met his best friend's friend. All right. I met his girlfriend's friend. Her name was Amy, and, like, I guess she really liked me, and, like, we fooled around.
Yeah.
For about 3 days while I was in town, and we did like everything but have sex, and I told her that I wasn't a virgin, but I really am.
Yeah.
And then also she was my first kiss too.
Wow.
And
hold on, Dr. Spaz, yes. Have you had your first kiss yet? Seriously.
Male or female?
Where were you? I'm gonna guess 32 years of age.
He's just a dick.
True, I agree.
All right.
A dick.
Alright, so go ahead, Brian.
Well, and, I mean, so we fooled around, and I didn't, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. And she got my email address from me, and, like, a few days later, I get an email asking her, or she's asking me what I thought about a long-distance relationship.
Yeah. You better go for what you can get, buddy. Yeah. You're 18. You never kissed a girl?
No.
What's up?
Well, my self-confidence has been shot ever since I was a little kid.
So. I see. Who did that to you, your mom?
No, I was kind of heavy growing up.
Yeah, that's what it does. When you're a fat kid growing up, it's like growing up in a concentration camp.
Yeah, but
you're fat.
You develop a lot of resiliency, though. You can take advantage of
sure, especially from the cold.
Okay, right, so you're not obese at this point.
I'm doing okay. I'm not. You know, I'm a little overweight. But
good. That's fine. Listen, buddy, you found someone who found it in her heart to give you what you call a little mercy weekend. And you better hang on with both hands.
But there's a twist.
Yeah, what twist?
Well, I found out from my friend Eric that she, I mean, like a week before, she said that she was like completely in love with a guy that she only knew for 2 weeks that she fell head over heels for. And I guess he dumped her because he couldn't trust her because she was flirting with his friend.
Yeah.
And since I live out of state, and she doesn't want to be exclusive.
She doesn't want to be exclusive?
Yeah. And
no.
So, but she says that she'll be faithful.
What does that mean? I don't want to be exclusive, but I'll be faithful.
Like, she still wants to go on dates, but not, you know, like, our hands to ourselves type.
Well, listen, what state do you live in?
I live in Utah.
And she lives in?
Cali.
Oh. Yeah, and you're 18?
Yeah.
And she's how old?
17. She's turning 18 next month.
Listen, Husky, you stay in Utah and find yourself a nice Utarian. You know what I'm saying? This is too big a hassle. It's this long distance at 18. You're going to ride your moped out to California twice a year. It's not going to work. you don't have the means. And she's not in love anyway.
But
Brian, listen to me. Listen to me, Spaz. Husky Spaz. It's very rare you find a Husky Spaz. Brian, listen to me. You know I'm a genius, right?
Yeah, Adam, you are the savior.
Thank you. Just because you found someone who would have you in another state doesn't mean you won't find one in your state. I know you're not used to people liking you, but they do like you. You're a good guy. You're on a roll now, brother. Find one in Utah. I know that feeling. He's had no success in his life, so he has one victory, and he clings on to it with both hands. No, stay in Utah. Too far away, California.
Or else his first experience will be a disaster, and
Thank
he won't
you.
Trust anyone ever again.
All right, Dr. Spaz, we'll be back.
Love Line, we'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yep, it is Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is on a ski vacation. Didn't Dr. Drew just have a vacation? That's right. Let me tell you something, kiddies. Let me tell you a little something about commitment. Let me tell you something about love. I get, and how many weeks of vacation do I get each year? Are you S-ing me? I get 5 weeks. I get 5 weeks of vacation every year, and I think I take one and then some scattered days here and there, and probably 2 weeks of the five. Wouldn't you say that's about right, Ann? 2 weeks? Man, I'd work through the Christmas, but that's when Ann and Dr. Drew, who not only takes his 5 weeks, he wants the three that I don't use. In his vacation time, and he's actually trying to get to other people's vacation time from their jobs. Guys who work in factories in Michigan.
Well, he has kids.
Trying to buy vacation days off of them.
He needs to bond with his kids, you know.
Jesus
what do you
Christ.
Have to bond with
Are
here?
You kidding? 5 weeks. But here's the point. I really, I hate work. I'm lazy. I don't like work.
Adam, this ain't work.
That's my point.
Okay.
If we get 5 weeks, one is fine with me. I wish I could get paid for those. Aren't there certain jobs where you can get paid when you don't use your vacation time? Yeah. I don't think this is one of them, is it? No. You know what I'd like to do? Because I like the job, and I like seeing Drew, and I like the guests, I like Ann, I like Anderson, I like coming here, but yet I don't get paid, and I feel like an idiot not using 3 or 4 weeks a year that I would be getting paid for, or that I can't be getting paid for, that I should be getting paid for. I think I'm going to take a vacation where I just actually sit in the studio but don't talk.
Yay!
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be good? I'll just sit in a corner and shake my head when Drew waxes on too long about some medical problem. What do you think?
I think it's impossible. I don't think you keep your mouth shut.
All right. Yeah. How dare you, Dr. Spaz.
Give me a break.
Dr. Spaz filling in for Dr. Drew, what, then next week too?
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Thank God he's coming back a day early.
Oh.
But let me say this. It is work for the physician sitting here because you are taxing.
Thank you.
You are abrasive.
Thank you.
You are irritating.
Thank you very much.
Drew sits holding his head most of the time, not looking at you.
Listen,
there should be a camera in here. So
you know what?
He's
looking at his pager. Okay. We're going to take some more calls, and then we'll hear David Alan Greer's phone message you left on my machine. It's not art. It's not genius. I just thought it was funny.
He's a funny guy.
He is. He actually is filled with talent, that lad. Yes.
You guys are together. There's good chemistry.
Oh, yes. Yes, we did some boxing yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
He's a pretty good boxer, David Alan Greer is.
So you guys got out and...
No, we didn't box each other. I held the focus mittens for him, those like catcher mitts, and he punched
them. Was this like a photo op? Like a...
No, he came over to my house.
Oh.
He brought his bag full of boxing stuff. I had my little timer and everything, and he went 4 or 5 rounds. And I just coached him. He's pretty good. Bruce, you know, the thing that's interesting about you is you use this piece of paper. You pioneered this, Bruce.
Right.
Bruce takes a Post-it, and he sticks it to our computer monitor next to the call that he wants to take.
Stroke of genius.
Which is fine, except for half the time he puts them right in between two calls, which then makes it useless.
There's one call right there.
Yeah, there was one call right under that that just dropped off. You had the paper exactly in between line 3 and line 4. Now, which should I take?
It's done to confuse you, to create...
Jason?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
I wanted to tell you guys that I run dance parties. We don't call them raves. Raves aren't very popular where I live.
Where do you live?
I live in Windsor, Ontario, Canada.
I see.
A river separates us and Detroit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Raves aren't that popular, but the very few people that that do go to them, they're not that popular, but ecstasy is happening. There is LSD there.
Why aren't raves popular in Canada?
Well, it's not Canada. Toronto, when you go to Toronto, it's just a bigger population. We have a population of 200,000 here.
Yeah.
We have 11 high schools, maybe 2,000 kids per high school. We get turnouts at our dance parties of about 600 to 1,000 people almost every week.
But you were saying that raves aren't popular.
No. But what I do is I throw dance parties, and that's,
right.
But that's more of like a club environment.
You're gay.
I'm asking you, please, Drew. I'm asking you, why aren't raves popular?
It's just the music, because we have a big influence from Detroit. Hip-hop, rap, and R&B has a much bigger impact on the teenagers in Windsor.
Okay. Hold on a second. He has no idea why raves aren't popular, though, right?
Well, he's making sense, though. I mean,
not really, though.
I think in that area, probably the accessibility to the ecstasy and the number of people you need to generate.
Kids can't get the drugs there. Okay. All right, so
my competitors that throw dance parties, the competitors are the actual ones that are spreading the drugs around.
Yes,
he's
right.
So you throw
dance parties. You don't like to call them raves because of the association with drugs, right?
Well, I like to throw like parties where people can just go and have a good time. We promote sex. Like sex is a big seller, and sex gets people in our doors.
All right,
we have a hot body contest. We got dance competitions, but we really.
All right,
really push like the hot girls and hot guys.
Sure, you don't call it a rave because that makes people think of drugs, right?
No, if I had a rave and I would call it a rave, but
what's the difference between what you do and a rave then?
We throw a party from 7 p.m. till 12 a.m. We throw it at a different club, maybe.
All right,
every
so
week.
You're having a party?
Yeah, it's a dance party. 90% of it is rap, hip hop, R&B, and that
not the techno.
No, most of it is not techno.
Yeah.
And I think that influence comes mainly from Detroit. The top radio stations are Top 40, and those are mainly influenced by, right now, the music.
All right.
So your point is you can have a good time not being loaded or whatever.
Right.
Of course.
You can have a decent time. You can have a great time. I think that's what his point is. Well, this party breaks up at 12.
You got to play hockey in the morning.
That's true.
Eh?
So, Hey, we're going ice fishing, and we got to play some hockey, so let's wrap this party up, eh?
Eh?
All right. But you, Bruce, these raves you go to,
mm-hmm.
12 o'clock, they're just kicking into second or third gear, right?
Right.
I mean, just getting started, right?
You're ready for your second hit of
When would you say most raves start at what time, 9 o'clock at night?
No, earlier.
Early.
7.
People are in... full capacity at what time? 10 o'clock?
Yeah, where's the thing you're writing on that?
People show up. I was looking at this. Bruce brought in an invitation to his
flyer.
Latest rave. It's called F-Face, so that they say the whole word. And let's see. What time does this thing start? Yeah, it starts at 9. 9 p.m. to 9 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I know how to party, and I've had a few good ones in my life, but the 9 a.m., I mean, after the sun's been up for a half hour, 45 minutes, I'm ready to head back home.
Well, you're ready to drive by then.
I see. I see.
It's a sobering up period.
I see. So everyone's got to cool down. Now, is the music pumping at 8 a.m.?
Well, if it's going until 9, yeah. The one I was at was over at 7 a.m., and it pumped until 7 a.m.
Really?
Yeah.
And this one says till 9 a.m. Did you just say you were at 1 from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m.?
Yeah, well, it was over at 7, but
I see.
You know, I was doing therapy with distraught people.
No one wanted their money back because it broke up at 7 in the morning instead of 9 in the morning? No. And
they would.
What's the deal? The place is at full capacity about 10 o'clock, and people are in full effect as far as coming on to X and whatever drugs are in their system by what, 11 midnight?
No, by whenever it starts.
Right there. Okay. And they're usually going for a second dose sometime around 11 or midnight?
The exact details of that type of thing, I don't know. But, yeah, usually if you're going to go for the whole thing, you're going to redose at some point. So, and, the issue is most people that go to these have quite a good knowledge of the dangers of these drugs. And one of the big debates now is should there be information disseminated about how to avoid getting into trouble with the drug? And some people say disseminating that kind of information promotes use of the drug. Like there's, I think it's called ravesafe.org. And it goes to the extent of you can have the drug tested and it'll give you an analytic report of what's really in it.
Right.
And there's a huge debate about that. And there are a lot of impurities that can end up in what's supposedly, allegedly ecstasy. And some of them are very toxic. The reason people drink lots of water at these and the chance of getting hyperthermia and dehydration is very great. There was a rave in England where 12 people died. The promoters turned up the heat, locked the doors, and they wanted to sell more water, and actually 12 people died because of that. So now there's been a great deal of
this. Did they really do that?
They really did that.
Have they proven that?
Oh, yeah. This was, I believe, in, I don't know. It's something that's in the literature, and it really, that event is what really stimulated the movement in raves. The people that were putting these on to disseminate information about how to do it safely.
Right.
And so as far as, as a physician, there's so many people doing this that I feel that it's better that there's
that they
very
get the
accurate
stuff
information.
Sure.
Yeah.
And well, see, look, if I had something that I thought was X, but I decided to get it tested first, like I bought some off a guy, and then I went in there and said to the guys, listen, could you test this? I just want to make sure it's pure. And I handed the guy, and he handed it back to me, and he said, listen, this is nothing but baking soda, speed, and baby laxative. I'd say, oh, okay, give it back to me. I'd just take it anyway. If I paid for it,
right.
If I paid for it, I'd take it.
Right. But
you know what I'm saying?
This has saved lives. There's some of the batches. The batches are very large, and when a batch gets out there.
Well, how pure, and listen, give me an answer, would you? Is most of this stuff, when you go to a rave and you buy X, are you getting X?
I don't think most people are buying it there. I think most people have it well in advance, and they know where they're getting it, and it's
not
smaller.
But it is being sold there, isn't it?
I don't think that's the rule. I think that's the exception. I think most people, and I'm
really?
Sure somebody will be on
it. You think that's the exception?
Yes.
You don't think you could? Hold on. I've seen these 2020 reports and these things. Listen, while all you kids are raving, I'm home in my underpants on a Friday night at 10 o'clock. Watching 2020 and learning about the horrors of what you kids are doing. And I know that they go out there and they buy at the rave. Of course they buy at the rave.
Possibly.
What do you mean, possibly?
No, I don't.
Of course. It's like asking if they sell churros at the Rose Bowl.
Well,
of course they do.
It's a whole subculture.
Oh, people, Dr. Spaz.
I know. I'm
done with you. Yeah, I believe people show up with X and with whatever drugs they're going to take. A lot of the people. But plenty of people score at the rave. And if no one is selling drugs at the rave, I'm going to start selling drugs at the rave because I'm going to get rich.
Yeah, I think you're wrong. But this is just you're dating yourself. It's like the generation where you went and bought a few joints at the Beach Boys concert.
Listen, I've seen these things a million times. People, you can't walk through a rave without someone hitting you up.
Somebody tried to buy LSD for me. That was pretty amazing.
People are going to hit you up and want to know. No one's going to want to sell Dr. Spaz any drugs. But, I mean, if your average 19-year-old hip person walked through a rave, people would approach them and try to sell them
X. I don't think so. I think you're absolutely
when
wrong.
When I used to go back...
Oh, wait a minute. Anderson.
We have an expert in the
I said hip person, by the way, but go ahead, Anderson.
Thanks, Adam. When I used to go, they'd sell them at the pay points mostly.
Right.
At the pay points, you mean entrance?
Right. Well, you go to one location, you buy the ticket, and then you drive to God knows where to the next location.
where the rave was.
Right. You take your drugs on the way over, so by the time you're there, you're high.
Right.
Right. So they would sell them, you say, at the pay points where you bought your tickets?
Right, which is more of a secret location than the actual place, because that's where the cops come and bust it down.
I see. I see. So,
but it's much more mainstream now, and it's the secret location thing is...
But once you're at the rave itself, there wasn't a lot of transactions drug-wise going on there.
Pretty much everyone was high at that point.
Yeah, right. It's still that way.
Didn't you still want to get higher later on, or did you bring extra?
One hit of X will do you good until the next day.
Well, it depends on tolerance. Somebody that's been doing it on a regular basis... But
yeah, I mean, this is a 12-hour affair here, Anderson. I mean,
it's $20 a pop. You're not going to be doing two or three unless you're getting it for free.
First off, I'm a millionaire, literally, so I can afford all the X I want. I got a whole trunk load of X. You want to buy some X?
No. Okay. I think the scary thing that we have to mention.
I'll tell you the scary thing. Anderson's hanging out at raves. That's a scary thing.
He's a youth.
1992.
Right.
All right.
The scary thing is, we really don't know what the stuff's doing in the brain. And in some studies now, they've had as little as one dose change the serotonin receptor system, as little as one dose. And that, you know, serotonin system depression, we really don't know what's going to happen to people that are using it on a regular basis.
One dose less. Shot from a .38 caliber pistol into the person's ear. Thank you. No. Amanda?
Hello?
You're 20.
Yeah. I have this problem. I moved in with this girl, and we've been roommates since September. And I think she's a lesbian, but what? She totally denies it, and she does weird things. And I don't know. She'll.
What do you mean denies it? Do you accuse her of it?
No. She'll like talk about how she's kissed other girls, and then she'll go, "But I'm not gay or anything like that."
Okay.
You know?
Well, why do you care?
Because I'm living with her.
Okay, being gay or lesbian, whatever type of gay person you are, isn't a disease. It's not something.
No,
she's not a predator. She's not going to go after you. Maybe, you know, if she is and she's interested, she's hinting around.
Do you think she's attracted to you?
I think she is. She'll walk around our apartment naked.
Hold on, I got Jack off. And
oh my God, he's doing it.
Yeah, well, that's possible. Where'd you meet her?
Back in my hometown.
I see.
We just had met, and then she needed a roommate, and we moved up to Portland together.
Okay, listen, Amanda, here's the deal.
Yeah.
She may be a lesbian,
mm-hmm.
and she may be interested in you.
Mm-hmm.
I've had gay friends,
mm-hmm.
and I think they've been interested in me at some point or another.
You're a lesbian trapped in a man's body.
Thank you. But you want to know what? All you got to do is not blow them, and you're fine.
Okay. So you
don't do anything with her. And it'll just kind of wear off.
Right.
I mean, look at it this way. There's plenty of heterosexual people who live together and one person has a crush on the other person. But they get over it because they get the impression that the other person's not interested in them.
Right.
That's fine.
Doesn't mean they're going to drop Rohypnol in your morning coffee. And
that's right. That's right. Amber?
Amber, wake up.
Amber, either
you... Fell asleep with a phone there.
That's
what listening to Loveline does.
Oh, Amber. A caller goes by the name of Amber. All right, hold on. You know what? Let's go to another call.
This is a good one.
Yeah? Okay. Oh. Ryan?
Ryan, hello?
You're 15. Yes, that's you.
Yeah. I have my ex-girlfriend, and she tells me that she's late on her period.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not quite sure if she's pregnant or not. She gives me the runaround saying that she doesn't know. She tells me her breasts are sore every now and then. She tests at the doctors, and they said they had to take 3 days to tell her. And I've just been going through a lot of chaos lately.
Yeah, I see. You're a little nervous that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
All right. Are you using any form of birth control?
Other than a condom, no.
Oh, well, the condom would be a form of birth control.
Okay, well, then, yeah, but there were a couple instances where we didn't use a condom, so.
I see. Well, this law is used at that one time. Yeah. All right, well, you understand that, Ryan, and where's the semen going when you don't use the condom?
You know, there's one thing that kind of is weird. I'm not coming.
You're not?
At all.
Yeah.
No.
What about dripping, though? You could be dribbling.
Yeah, that is true. I am.
All right. That. Well, that can be enough sometimes.
Okay.
Okay, listen, I'm going to put Ryan on hold because his phone line is so effed up. But here's the deal. If you're going to use birth control, you kind of have to use it all the time. Sort of like seat belts. You know, it's a good idea to
profound.
Wear.
Profound.
Good idea to wear most of the time. And she may be pregnant, and she may not. This is what happens when you don't use protection and you have a dribbling penis.
Yeah.
But so you're going to have to wait it out.
You know what? When you're 15, though, it's really, when you start having sex, it tends to complicate your life more than it's worth the whatever.
Well, what would you know about that?
That's right. See? Look how normal I am now.
Dr. Spaz.
It's like, that's what I want to ask the other 15-year-old. She's 15, and one day she has sex with one guy, the next day somebody drops into town, she's having sex with another guy. It's usually a sign of having had a problem in the past, a family issue. It's usually more of a sign of a problem, and it causes these...
Oh, please. You've been to these raves. There's lots of 15-year-olds having sex these days.
You have to be 18 to get into a rave anyway. So.
Well, please. Fake IDs. Come on.
Right.
All right. Listen. All he can do is wait, and if she is pregnant, call us back, and we'll figure out plan B. If she's not pregnant, let this motivate to use some birth control.
Feel the pain.
All right. You got a call there?
You want to try Amber again?
Not really. Amber, are you there? Are you talking into your phone?
Yeah.
How come we can barely hear you?
I don't know.
Put the phone right up to your mouth and speak very loudly into it.
Okay.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
All right. We got bad lines, so we got to call you back, okay?
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a break, but before we do, I promised the good folks at the K-Rock Promotions office, the mother station out here in fabulous Los Angeles, that I would mention the Supercross series I'm going to Saturday night. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mm. And let me tell you something about this. This is a plug. But I was going anyway.
Oh, is this a guy, last time I was here, who jumped over a house with his motorcycle or something?
No, that was not him. He's probably in traction somewhere. No, this is Jeremy McGrath and company, who's been on the show many times. And I am heading out to Anaheim to Edison Field for the
promoting
Supercross.
They're
kicking off the first, this is the first stop in the tour. This is the 2001
series.
Complete
with videos.
I'm telling you, big screens, big boobs, big beers. It is a good time. I'm packing me and four other white trash buddies from the Valley, and we are heading out, and I got a boner over this.
I want to go, too.
You can't. You want to go?
I'll hang out with
you. Do you want to go?
Yeah.
It's in Anaheim. How far is that from Redlands?
I've got 45 minutes.
Is it closer than the sun?
My wife's gone for the weekend. I want to go.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you want to go?
Yeah.
I mean, she got to meet us there. We're not going to pull up with you. I mean, you understand,
right? Why don't
you
go in my neighborhood? Then I'll really have the neighbors.
He's just a dick.
Do you want to go out there?
Yeah.
All right, because we're...
Can I take my digital camera? And...
Yeah, but don't spaz out too much.
Okay.
Have you been to one of these things?
Uh-uh.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's loud. There's a lot of dirt flying around.
These guys are getting 30 feet of air under them, and I'm talking about a three-story building underneath their tires when they're in the air, and that ain't one time. You know, you go watch Evel Knievel jump. He makes one jump, and then the ambulance scoops him up and drags him away somewhere. This is every lap. Oh, the triple jumps. Some guys can clear the center one, and some guys can't. You know what I mean? There's three jumps, and some of them use the third jump as a landing ramp, and other guys can't make it. And if you land halfway, that's bad times.
Yeah, but how much is this technology? When I was in college, we used to ride these things, and my girlfriend's brother raced, and the old Husqvarnas and stuff like that. I think the bikes today, they can also
do a lot more. Listen, the bikes today are, everything's aluminum,
right.
Disc
They're
brakes,
lighter.
Water-cooled, monoshock suspension. There's 13 inches of travel between the rear tire and the rear fender. It's all about suspension.
Have you looked at one of those old ones now and compared to the new ones? I was looking at an old one in some shots. Unbelievable, the difference.
Well, you probably rode an old Bull Taco or something.
Husqvarna.
Laid down shocks in the back. And No, that's a mess. You can't do that stuff on those bikes.
Well, what did Evel fly over things with? Was an old Harley Davidson?
Evel Knievel jumped like a stock Harley Davidson.
Yeah.
It was like almost from the showroom floor. He you want to know what makes Evel Knievel Evel Knievel? I mean, his bike was like taking a street bike
right.
and trying to get, you know, 80 feet of air, and it's just basically a street Harley, which is total insanity. I mean, if you ever watch those videos or Jeremy McGrath or any of that super, any of that super bike stuff, I mean, these guys are riding. It'd be like, it'd be the equivalent of like entering a Lexus in the Baja 500.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what truly made him nuts. He was jumping almost a street bike over 15 buses.
Yeah. But the old AMF Harleys, right? It's like landing on a...
Yeah. No travel. Nothing. All right. Do you want to go?
Yeah.
Saturday night. Edison Field.
All right.
All right. In Anaheim. Seriously.
Yeah.
You can be there?
I will be there.
All right. I'm going to get you a ticket.
I will be there.
All right. We'll be back.
Loveline. Loveline. We'll be right back.
Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce. You know him as Dr. Spaz. Filling in for Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'll see you Saturday night,
Take
brother.
Take me to the auto show, man.
No, I can't.
The Wiz is gone?
I'm going to the auto show tomorrow night and then to the Supercross race Saturday night.
Can I solicit the listeners for a VIP pass?
This is a high-octane weekend, everybody. Oh, I am pumped. I am so pumped. I really am pumped. This is what people hate about me.
Yeah.
I am pumped.
Listen, my wife's away for the weekend so I can work on those stupid chapters that I'm doing with Drew. So
listen,
I'm going.
I'll see you Saturday night, but not Friday night. I can't get tickets for that.
Yeah.
I only got tickets for myself.
Yeah, you just don't like me.
That's true. Yeah. Chris? Oh, for Christ's sake.
Oh, we're putting him asleep.
Yeah.
Well, you already masturbated. That's fine. Okay.
All right. We'll put him back on hold over there. Hey, you got a call there? Hey, Bruce. Seriously, do you have a laser you can bring in here?
Yeah.
You do?
Sure. What do you want?
Bruce uses lasers to remove tattoos, hair, all that kind of stuff.
Great fun.
Yeah. All right. I don't need anything.
Oh, please.
I don't.
Let's start with hair removal.
I don't have hair on my back. Contrary to popular belief, my back is bare.
How about the forest on your butt? One time you described losing a gecko in there.
That's something you could work on. Yeah, I do have some hair on my ass.
I will not touch.
You could get down there. Oh, you've been there before, Susie.
Hello.
Susie, what was that?
That was my ass exploding when you fired a laser at it. You're 19. What's up?
I saw the doctor Bruce at the rave.
Oh, hey. You did.
Yes. Do you remember me, Susie?
Yeah. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You can vouch for my sobriety at the rave.
Yeah, you were definitely sober, but I was going to tell you that you said that everybody has to be 18 to get into a rave.
Well, they're supposed to be.
Oh, because I've been to a couple, and I've never, and that kind of shocked me. I saw, like, 12-year-olds, and they don't ever check your age.
Well,
at the 10 or 12 that I've been to.
Was Bruce hitting on the 12-year-olds?
No.
But I went and started.
Oh, jeez, with the F word.
What happened?
Anderson knocked her off the air because she just blatantly used the F word. And in a way, she didn't really have to either. All right.
Oh, what a judgmental guy.
Hey, listen, one of the hallmarks of stupidity is not being able to stop yourself from using profanity.
Even Loveline has standards, folks. All right.
It's a radio show. You can't say the F word. And you really have to be stupid to not be able to catch that in yourself. Yes, you do. Of course. It is one of the hallmarks of being stupid. It's not knowing where you are and who you're talking to.
How come? No, never.
What? Well, let me see some. Susie? She's still there?
Yeah.
Listen, goofball.
I know.
You got spanked.
That stuff has affected your brain. Now, were you at the rave that was January 5th?
No, not the 5th, New Year's Eve.
Tomorrow's the 5th. How could she?
Wait a minute. Oh, that's right. Well, you handed me this flyer. You said this is the one you went to.
No, I didn't. I said they handed that out at the one I went to.
Oh, I just read the date on the bottom. All right. You were at the one on New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And did you talk to Bruce for a while?
Yeah.
Can you remember?
Were you high?
Yes.
Were you freaking out talking to a doctor all high?
No, not at all. It was just interesting because he had a video camera. And I was just wondering what he was doing there.
Bruce, what were you doing with the video camera?
For lectures,
I remember him telling me about writing that chapter in the book with the doctor.
Don't you have to get clearance from people you're filming when they're all effed
up? That's what I was wondering. Because I've seen a lot of people with video cameras at rave.
There was more just crowd shots and stuff like that.
All right.
So.
All right, Susie.
All right, thank
you. Hey, what do you do? Go to junior college?
Yeah, College of the Canyon.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
So
how's
now
that going?
Huh?
Yeah, you're on the 15-year plan over there?
No, I'm good. I'm 30 units, and I'm halfway done. I have 30 more units to go. Yeah.
So most of the people that go to the raves, what do you think? They're just sort of normal people, students and stuff like that?
There's a lot of people there, and they're all different. There's some intelligent people and some young people who are just high out of their minds.
But it seems like it's more mainstream than it used to be.
Yes, it's very, very mainstream.
Yeah. And it's become like every weekend.
I just can't believe how many people go and how popular it is. And
do you meet guys there?
No, I don't meet guys there.
What do you go for?
Just to dance, and actually just to be comfortable in a place where everybody else is just as high as you are.
Okay. Couldn't you just get a couple of friends and get really high and stay home?
Yeah, there's a couple. It's not the same.
Not
with
the same.
Thousands of people on the same level as you.
Do you think a lot of people are concerned about the long-term effects of the ecstasy?
No, I don't think a lot of people are.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. I haven't gone to that many. I've gone to maybe 10 or 12. I'm trying to keep count of how many pills
times
I've taken.
Yeah. How about the depression after you've taken the ecstasy?
I haven't really experienced that, but I'm kind of a depressed person, so maybe I just didn't.
Can you buy X at the rave?
Oh, yeah, and that's another thing I was going to say. I remember Bruce saying that there's not that many people who sell them there. And a lot of people do, I know, bring it with them, but there's a lot of people who sell it.
Of course.
Like Adam was saying, there's a lot of people.
Of course, yeah. You want to know the torture of being me?
What?
I've never been to a rave. Bruce has worked 150 of them, and I have to tell him what goes on at a rave.
Wait a second. Susie, what would you say the exception and the rule? Do more people buy it there?
Yeah, that's true. More people bring it, like you said, way ahead of time.
Thank
they
you.
Have it.
Yes.
Thank you, Susie.
You were basically telling me that I couldn't score at a rave.
No, but you could definitely score.
Definitely.
At a rave. Definitely. There's people, you'll hear the word X in doses, and everywhere you go, people are trying to get you to buy something.
Anderson, play
thank
back
you,
exactly
Susie.
What I said. I didn't say that.
Listen, he couldn't do that if he wanted to.
I've had anal sex, and I passed out a couple times.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Her ring is new.
Listen, you jackhole. I was saying that you could easily score there, and there's plenty going around. And you said, no, it's not being sold there. People bring it. They get high before they go. And that it's not being passed out there. Please. See, this is the torture. Really, it's the torture that is my life.
Oh, listen. Drew is infinitely more than he would have been doing anything else.
Knowing so much more than everyone else. Liz?
Yeah?
You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been seeing this guy for a few months now, and he really wants to have sex with me, but he's still a virgin, and he's 20, and I'm not a virgin, and I feel bad. I'm going back to school in March, and I don't want to have sex with him because I'm afraid that I'll, like, hurt him when I leave for school. Like, he'll get too attached because, like, I'm...
Oh, boy.
...or whatever.
Oh, are you not into him?
I mean, I don't know.
No, you're not into him.
Right.
Why aren't you...
I can go and have sex with any guy and not be into him, and I'm fine with it. But this guy, I think I am into, and that's why I won't do it, because I actually care about him.
Uh-huh. Where's Daddy?
He's right upstairs in his bedroom.
Uh-huh. Upstairs in heaven?
No.
He died of an OD when you were 4?
No. I am the only person in my family that has ever done any drugs.
I see. Do you love your daddy?
In a family,
yes.
I love my dad.
Platonic kind of way.
Yes.
What's your communication like with him, though? What was it like when you were growing up? Were you real close?
I've actually been closer with my dad than with my mom.
I see. Anything, you lose anything? Anyone be taken away from you growing up? Anyone disappoint you?
No.
Okay, here's an issue.
Go ahead, then.
But here's one of the issues. First of all, it's good that you have a conscience and that you're worried about what you're worried about, because it is true. When you have sex with someone, there are ties there that you don't realize, and he will be attached, and it will affect him negatively if you don't continue the relationship.
Well, the guy's 20. Throw him a bone. He's a virgin, for Christ's
sake.
No,
that's not throwing a bone. That's throwing a wrench in the works. But here's
Since when is having a vagina toss at your penis like ring toss? Throwing a wrench in the works. I wish someone would toss some wrenches my way when I was 20.
They toss the wrench and hit you in the head, I think, when you're 20. But what I'm concerned about with Liz is the fact that you say that you have had lots of guys and it's nothing. It doesn't affect you. And if it doesn't affect you, then the reverse is true. Then there's a real problem there, because when you want to achieve real intimacy with somebody and have a long-term relationship, you may find that there are problems with maintaining.
I agree with Dr. Spaz. Liz, what's up with you? There's a little distance you're having from intimacy.
Well, no, no. It's not like I've had sex with, like, 50 people or something. I mean...
No.
It's pretty normal. I think I'm pretty normal for, like, an average 19-year-old.
Yeah, I'm just saying, what's up with you in that you're a little bit freaked by relationships?
Basically, like, the school I'm going to is really weird, and I'm not really in one place for a long period of time. I'm moving all over the place every 6 months.
Because the school...
Is it a circus school? What kind of school?
School for a clown school?
No, it's a cooking school.
I see.
You're gonna be a chef.
I see. All right. You'll be working at IHOP at 5 years. Liz, look, if you like the guy, see what happens. Don't question yourself. Don't think down the road that far. You're attracted to him. You like the guy. You know he doesn't have herpes.
And
what the hell?
Yeah, once you have sex with him, that's going to change the nature of your interaction. And now he's going to be—he's never had sex before. They have sex. He's going to be—it complicates
Listen,
it.
Listen, I worry a little about a woman who says, "I like this guy, but I don't want to become intimate with him because I don't want to have a bond with him." It's a little—that means there's a little something up.
I think she realizes that what it means to him is more normal. And
no,
that,
shush hole. Shush hole.
Mm.
Richard.
Yeah.
You're 16.
Hey. It's kind of a weird question.
All right. Well, hold on then. We can talk.
It's a weird question is something you're saying hold on?
Well, I mean, we got to go to break.
Oh.
And I get the feeling that it could take them 20 minutes to get spit it out. So we'll take ourselves a little break, and then we'll come back, and then we'll hear Richard's weird question.
Okay. And then Amber called back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was up with her?
She was asleep for a while, and then the phone was screwed up.
Oh, that's right. All right,
she's had a hard night.
We'll be a break. We'll get back with Richard after this.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Yep, Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce, aka Dr. Spaz, filling in for Dr. Drew, who is skiing on a much needed vacation. I mean, to be fair to the guy, he was off for 12 days, and then he came back and worked the whole 2 days, and, you know, he's earned his vacation.
I mean, painful erection that will not go away.
Put in 4 hours, and now he's heading out again.
He's probably getting CME credits at a medical meeting.
No, he's skiing, I hear. I don't know where he went skiing. Does anyone know where he went skiing, Ann?
Don't tell.
Really?
Stalker after
Mountain High? No, that ain't him. Please. He's probably...
Is he snowboarding or skiing?
He's probably in the Swiss Alps somewhere being, airlifted onto some peak somewhere.
Well, I see him more in a snowboard than skis.
No. Huh? No.
Okay.
That's, by the way, growing up, that was the difference between the loser kids and the winner families. The families that went on the ski vacations...
Mm.
Those were the rich families. And the kids who just sat in a pile of dirt in the valley, those are the poor families. Like that ski vacation. You know you've arrived when you're going on a ski vacation. You know what I'm saying? Did you go on any ski vacations growing up?
When I was growing up, the guys that skied at all were the rich families and the poor guys.
Right.
We'd ski on the side of the Northern State Parkway in Long Island, and we'd have snurfers. You know, you have your big heavy snow boots on and a rope at the end of this board.
Right, yeah.
The guy that could jump into the parkway between cars, that was,
right.
Make it all the way down there.
I had a piece of a refrigerator box in a side of a hill in Silver Lake because we didn't have snow. Like, that's how you know, like, when you have really lazy parents and you grow up in a place where there's no snow, you'll never see the snow.
No.
Because they'll be goddamned if they're going
to
haul you an hour
to
and
the
a
mountains.
Half out the hill.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
So
I had my friend, I've had friends that grew up in the valley, like they saw snow for the first time when they were 28. I swear to God, like they hooked up with some chick and went out to visit her in Connecticut or something and saw some snow. But my it was like they were like landlocked. They were my valley buddies.
For people not from California, you're describing an extreme deprivation.
Not seeing snow?
Not seeing snow, since the mountains are like, you know,
well, you're living in the valley. That's right. You're good 45 minutes, maybe. To be fair to the parents, you're an hour and 15 minutes away from the snow.
Right.
The closest snow when you live in Southern California, you live in the San Fernando Valley.
An hour and a half.
Right.
Right.
which
it's a huge, huge sacrifice.
Between
on the part of the
me
parents.
And my like 15 Valley friends, one of us had seen it like once.
God.
It's like somebody's uncle blew into town and rented a car and took them up there once.
Well, back
so after you, so after you get the empty refrigerator box for Christmas, you can use it to slide around the
yeah, slide the down the grass okay. hill. Amber,
yeah,
you're 16.
Yeah.
All right. So what's up?
I was dating a guy, and I introduced him to my best friend, and he dumped me. And I think he is going out with my best friend.
Yeah. That could have happened.
Should I confront him or should I confront her?
How old's the guy?
17.
And he was your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Was he really your boyfriend?
We were going out for like 2 months.
2 months. Were you having sex?
No.
Why not?
Because he's normal.
Why not?
I don't.
Shouldn't do that.
You don't
that's
do that.
That's fine to say.
Well, that's what jeez. Happens. Now, if I talked to him and said, was Amber your girlfriend, would he say yes? Or would he say, she was a girl I was going out with. I was dating.
I don't know.
Now, are you upset because you wanted him to be more upfront and honest and tell you first and break up and then start another relationship? Or are you just angry?
Oh, shut up. I don't even know what he wanted.
I want him to be
honest. Do you? No, your feelings are hurt. Listen.
Right.
It's both.
And what about this friend? Obviously, you're hurt that she would do this, too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing, Amber, and here's the thing to everyone, every woman listening. Women do this all the time. You know what they do? They do this. They go, it's not that you had an affair with my best friend. It's that you lied. You lied about it. That's why I'm angry.
It's that you had an affair.
No, it's that you had an affair. Of course you lied. You have to lie. And she'll say the same thing to her best friend. It's not that you're dating the man I was dating. It's that you lied to me. You lied to my friend. Well, listen, everybody lies. If I was boinking one of my friend's girlfriends and he asked me, you're goddamn right. I'd be lying 20 minutes after I was in the car and driving away. I'd be lying to myself, just lying, openly lying. I'd lie to the next 100 people I saw just to play it safe.
But it's still not okay.
No, it's not okay. But Amber, you need to call. You need to talk to your friend and ask her and tell her, listen, it just hurts my feelings.
But, and the other thing is, at 16, this is real normal behavior.
That's right.
It's when you're in a relationship, 2 months is a long time. Seems like there's a real commitment there. And when somebody does something like this, your feelings are hurt.
Happens to everybody.
Feel horrible. And
happens to the best. But Bruce was telling me off the air when he was in high school, he was dating a beanbag chair for a semester and a half, and that the beanbag ended up taking off with your dad's ottoman. Was that true? Bruce was heartbroken. He was forced to hump the sofa now. But the point is it made him stronger. He got over it.
Don't project your adolescent pathology on me. You're the person that had sexual relationships with inanimate objects such as steaks and melons and whatever else I know that you've
steaks.
Done.
Steaks!
And these food groups that you discussed,
please,
have discussed in the
no.
past.
I'll tell you what. You know what? You know, we should hear this. This David Alan Greer call that I built up way
yeah,
too much.
Where is
so
it?
It's only mildly entertaining. I just thought it was funny. Now, let me just set it up. David Alan Greer and I had been boxing. I used to teach boxing, and I was working out with him a little bit, and he's a decent boxer. And we were going back and forth, holding the mitts for each other, and we did this for a few weeks. And I was saying, hey, you know, you're getting pretty good at this, and he was really getting into it. And I said, let's make a regular thing out of this. So I called him, and he said, yeah, we'll do it next week. And I called him, he didn't call me back. And then I called him again, and he didn't call me back, and he was giving me the blow-off. And I was angry. So I called him a third time, and I left a message basically talking about what an a-hole he was and how I'm not accustomed to calling people back because I'm literally a millionaire, and I'm not going to chase his sorry ass around to teach him how to box. He should be chasing my ass around because I'm the instructor.
Ooh, he tapped into your insecurity.
So he called back and left this message on my machine.
Saturday, December 30th at 8:42 a.m.
Hey, Adam Karaoke. Listen, this is David Abelier. Let's try and get some levity in our little voicemail message there, pal. Pull the stick out your ass and breathe, my friend. Happy Kwanzaa, Black brother. Listen, I'm ready to whoop your monkey ass come near 2001. So bring your little mitty mitts, and we're going to beat you down. Now, look at here, buddy love. One quick note. I thought you were going to tighten me up with that bag, man. See how you do? See how you do? You bastard. All right. Listen, have a great holiday. I will be back on the 1st, and we will definitely hook up. My work schedule has lightened considerably. All right, I'll see
you. I thought that meant he got thought it meant he got a show canceled.
Yeah, a little humility there.
But you know what? He didn't get a show canceled. They just fulfilled his order, and he's got a few more.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, we
talking to you like a brother there. You guys have connected on some level, I see. That's good.
He wants his mitty mitts. Those are the things he punches. And he wants his water heavy bag. I told him I was going to order for him. He called me yesterday and wanted to know where I got my dishwasher, because he wants one of those.
Oh, your place. Listen, it's one of those fancy places.
That's right.
There are buttons. I don't know what to do with it in your sink.
That's right. All right, Big Bruce, we're going to take ourselves a little break.
Can I chew some gum now?
That's right. We'll be back after this.
Back in a minute.
Well, there you go. Another fabulous half week of Loveline in the can. And to be fair to Dr. Drew, he did stick around for the first day and a half, and then he split. Dr. Spaz will be in here filling in for Dr. Lazy.
Don't give me that look.
Yay!
Should we give an 800 number for tattoo removal?
Paging Dr. Spaz. Dr. Spaz, please see Dr. Lazy on the ski slope. All right. No, don't give that number out.
No, for the free tattoo removal, not for my own services.
Give it out on Sunday.
Okay.
All right. I want to thank producer Ann for doing a wonderful job. Even though she has 1 foot in the grave, she's sick. She's coming here tonight just to say hi to Dr. Spaz.
She's a breath of fresh air in a stale environment.
She really is. I want to thank Lauren for doing a great job on lead phones and head coffee all week.
Ow!
And Anderson's sick. He came in sick.
Anderson always claims to be sick. It's the way he gets, it's his excuse for not doing his job.
You know, he's
going to
be a great figure, huge figure in the movie industry. He'll be
he'll be one of these
one
crazy,
to reckon with. And crazy. You wait, 10 years from now, you'll be groveling at his feet.
He'll be one of these crazy guys who never gets out of his bathrobe, can cite every line from every movie ever made, but nobody cares. All right.
At least I won't be a blowhard, though.
Whoa. But he won't be a blowhard. Although you do have, no, you don't have blowhard potential. You're white, you're a little too young, and you need to put on a couple more pounds, and you don't talk enough.
But he's pierced.
But you still could be, no, and you can't be pierced and be a blowhard either.
You think I don't talk, but that's just because you never shut up when you're
around. All right, quiet down. I got to finish the show.
Oh.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Spaz. Say mahalo.
I've had anal sex, and I passed out a couple times.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.